Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome to Expedition Self. And I haven't heard that our music for the show in a while because tonight I'm live again after a very long stint away from the show. And I'm super pleased to be here. Although I'm going to say right out of the box, I'm not here next week, but we'll be back the week after that and then here for a while. So we're going to be talking about how people get compromised in the next hour. And it's kind of a long story to even get to the subject because I'm going to weave it around my past month's time away. And this time I'm going to call like a sabbatical. So even though I'm not in higher education, it definitely felt like a break, a study break, right? Kind of a lifetime. And it was a chance to reclaim and regroup and a time when I could, you know, invite and open to the messages, right? And the communication that the universe and my own psyche had for me. So I do know lots of people don't get an opportunity to stop working for a block of time more than a week here or there and look around and gather themselves up again. So I want to start by acknowledging that I feel like I was pretty lucky to actually be able to do this. And I'd like to think that there's a way to create breaks like this for ourselves, everybody, but that's probably a topic for another show. So my first part of the trip, I went to Sedona, Arizona, and then I went to Lake Havasu City in Arizona, which is basically where I grew up, on the lake and the Colorado River. And then I came home for a few days and then took off for a 10-day vacay in Disney World. So I pretty much started the entire adventure declaring how, you know, I wanted to reclaim parts of myself that I had lost or left behind. Now, I just have to say that I imagined that I was going to like what I reclaimed. Like I'd go shopping and be given a bag of unexpected trinkets and gifts that I had packed up long ago. And I was going to be so excited to open it up and exclaim in some way, "Oh, wow, I had forgotten you," right? With delight. Well, this was not the case. And as is always, I am amazed by the arrogance of my own mind, how much I always think I know before I don't know. And so I was shocked at what showed up and unprepared. And I got, you know, in my desire to be with things, I certainly got completely sucked inside of it. And so it doesn't sound very flashy or sexy, but basically the thing I was given was terror and panic and fear, right? The first half of the trip, I spent living in a constant state of fear. And it wasn't like I don't have a recollection of noticing it when I was young at times. And, you know, that I've made contact with fear in the present plenty of times, but never has it basically run all day, every day, consuming and filling up really all of my background thoughts, like worrying about what may happen, the 1 in a millionth possibility of something or another. And so it was hard to relax and be in the moment because I was managing this incredible sense of fear that kept dogging me basically around every corner. You know, did I think that was a piece of myself I was supposed to reclaim? Who wants that? No, that's supposed to be, you know, handled, right? Absolutely not. So mostly because I thought fear has made its presence known, right, in my life, my everyday life. I mean, I've studied it and paid attention to it for long blocks of time. But what I actually saw was this entire layer of growing up and how afraid I really was. Like a rampant, continuous, consuming, paralyzing, being a buzzkill, right? It's just, it descended on my like sensory life experience while I was on this trip. And, you know, it turns out I didn't realize how much my early life experience and then a few decades more of life had an impact on what was living inside and working me. And so it didn't feel like a gift of reclaiming myself. And it felt more like a storm cloud that wouldn't move out of the valley and onto the mountains. But it was a gift. And, you know, I got to go back and look closer at what it was like for me growing up and all the experiences I had and how I dealt with these moments and who was involved. And the thing of it is that it had me also think about this idealized version of myself, of being someone who likes adventure. And I picture myself, you know, traveling, being kind of like, you know, from Murder, She Wrote, you know, Jessica having friends all over and showing up and having these adventures. And so I guarantee the whole show is not about my process, but it does lead to this idea of what being compromised is all about. So for that time, I was able to say, maybe I'm not an adventurer. Maybe I don't have the stomach for it anymore. And I actually just want to clarify, just so you know, I was not rappelling off of cliffs, right? We were really doing very little that was risky. It was like driving down the highway or going to the Grand Canyon or being out on the lake, like things I would normally have very little trepidation about doing. Well, except for going to Jerome, which is this little mining town that sits on the side of this mountain. But even that, my memory of going there was not one that I had fear in it. But when I went back, I think I did feel fear of all those hairpin turns and sitting on the side of a mountain, hanging there, right? Not really. Okay, so I share this because it really makes the point that when you ask to see something in yourself and you create the space to invite it in, never, and I mean never, can you know what will be served up. And the second big thing that happened is that I found myself in double and triple binds trying to hold space and build intimacy with the group of people that I was with. So, you know, I want to just stop here in a moment. Is if anybody can relate to this idea that you're trucking through life and all of a sudden find yourself in some layer of yourself that you never expected, I'd love to hear from you. The number is 202-570-7057. But in addition to that is if you've ever gone with a group of people and found yourself in a place where you're trying to like hold space for where people really are and their needs and what they want and your own, and also build intimacy at the same time. I'd love to hear about that. You know, it fits, right, that I'm all about creating more connectivity and deeper relationship. And so part of this trip was my own personal kind of investment in creating this with all the people that I went with. But in truth, the way it actually played out, I was dealing with so much coming up inside of me. And the space wasn't really safe enough for some of the truths that probably could have come out or needed to come out or that were actually there. And I pretty much imploded by the last day. And I made some pretty big communication faux pas moments. And I then wanted to be in the resulting dialogue that went with working it through. But humbling, so humbling, H-U-M-B-L-I-N-G, humbling, and again, good growth stuff. Now, I'm a few weeks out from it, so it's easier to talk about it, right? But you can imagine I was fully feeling and engaged with it, right? Harder, so much harder to actually play out and live through as I was there. So perhaps the hardest part was how issues with my son, they showed up, like how I've been relating to him through college, because, you know, he just graduated, and the distance between us that I wasn't tackling. There was just so much there, and I didn't see it, right? It wasn't easy to handle, and I felt defensive and hurt and reactive. All this stuff we try to stay away from, and yet I was sucked right into the middle of it. And it was so painful to hear, you know, like I didn't know things had gotten left behind. I didn't realize how much I wasn't working with that really got left behind from decades ago. But also, you know, in my life, but then got left behind inside of my relationship with him. So it was kind of like, there's shock, right? That, oh, I asked to show me pieces that were left behind, and that I actually got given pieces that were left behind, really, even, you know, in the here and now. And so it did have some to do with my fear, because much of what was off about us had to do with my fears. My fear of being too pushy and dominating, my fear of how he'd get on to the next stage of his life. So think about it, right? Here I am on this trip looking to reclaim parts of myself and see that, and end up seeing that what I was immersed in on the inside, but it constructed life so I didn't have to be with it, fear and panic and terror, you know, foreboding of what would happen to me, right? That made more fear, was also infiltrating my relationship with my son in a very big way. And we were not good. So, you know, I've mentioned blind spots a ton on this show. But this was a real one that was happening right in my life. And again, I had actually asked to see blind spots, right? I mean, at some level, when you say, oh, I would like to reclaim parts of myself so I am more fortified for the next leg of my journey. Well, basically, we're saying, yeah, show me the blind spot. Show me the money, you know? And I just think that it's one thing to think it, and it's another to actually live through it. And I got to just live through it. So I want to just pause here for a second. Remember, you know, everything about what matters to me in life is to look for the growth in it. It was right to see things about myself that are limiting my life experience, to see the bad news, to see the things I wish were not true. And so, gosh, you know, the entirety of doing the trip and spending time with people and making dinner and singing and floating down the river, it was fun. And there was a lot of sharing that was beautiful. But everything I've just really talked about was behind the scenes, and I was managing it. And although I knew those things were behind, right? Because, well, let's face it, there's there's always the unspokens and the unsaids and the withhelds, right? The stuff we hide from ourselves, right? But I didn't know, I truly didn't know this layer about my fears was so incredibly huge. And I didn't realize that I had jumped over a bunch of relationship work with my son, because in my head, I was kind of intellectually choosing the way it was going. But the reality is, of course, it had to come through. Because when you're committed to growing, when you put it out there and say, I want to be an authentic being, I want to be somebody who's vital and alive and conscious, that which is not whole or out of integrity with who you say you are will always find a way to be seen and heard. It will always find that way. It always comes through one way or the other. You know, growth work is all about how you relate to it when it finds its way it onto the stage, when it finds its, it gets its mic, right? And it has a lot to say to you. It's growth work is about, am I going to really show up and let it settle inside of me, right? And do the work on yourself and keep that flashlight pointed inward, right? When it shows up, because there's no question, right? Most of the time when things show up, it's very easy to blame it on something else other than your own life experience and how it comes through. And the whole idea that you even want to blame means there's judgments in there and all kinds of goopy stuff, right? That we human beings find ourselves caught up in. And so I see that as going to the growth gym, right? Every time that I find myself in a moment where I am being given something I didn't expect, something I didn't plan for. And so this trip was like, put that on steroids and make it exponentially 20 times bigger. And I felt like I was being put through my paces and I was being stretched and I was being pushed. And it was all really at some level at my own behest, my own request, right? Because that was the point, is I wanted this life experience to produce a new level of growth for me. All right, so we're at break. When we come back, we'll continue on and head towards this idea of what happens to people.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, we are back. I'm Sam Perotto, and you're listening to Expedition Self. And tonight we're talking about what causes people to be compromised, but we're getting there through a whole month long of personal exploration and growth work that I'm also sharing. So, all right, so I think I've made the case about all this fear and what was going on with my son. So I come home, and I do a lot of work around what this is connected to and what do I need to see and what do I need to be with, right? Lots of conversations with my son about what's been going down, to which he was generous enough to participate with. In the middle of this trip, I was pretty raw and vulnerable. I didn't feel like I could make much sense of everything, and I just tried to keep letting things flow through me without latching on and holding on to a thought or conclusion to try to get the stuff to go away, right? I figured it's like, you know, when a wave comes through, you let the wave come through until it kind of washes itself through. So lots of feelings, and not all the thoughts were nice. Like, many of them were personally defensive or reactive, but my goal in there was just to watch. So another thing that became really clear was how I'd been running ragged, trying to get new projects off the ground and hold life together. And, you know, do you know that place where you just feel like you have to keep working harder and be more determined because it's the only way to get where you're trying to go? I don't think it's unique to me. I think a lot of us have this. But so this survival pattern has been running for me for a long time. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I've been pretty rigid about it, right? Like, it has to go this way. I have to keep doing what I'm doing, right? Because otherwise I'm never going to get where I'm trying to go. Anyway, I have been driving myself really, really hard. And so this was part of what was in the background of reclaiming, because there was a place where I could connect while I was on this trip with not being pushed so hard and applying so much pressure to my life. So part of the being away during that time, well, it gave me time away, right, from all that self-pressure. And the other thing that happened is I saw that I wasn't active enough and that my body was super, super unhappy about it. Again, right? Not spending enough time really making room for my body, because if it didn't look like it was part of what I was driving for, then it was deprioritized, you know, stamp, not important, right? And when I'm pressured, the minute I don't have to work, then I don't work on things that would actually make a difference in my overall well-being and make me happier. So the dream, whatever it is I'm dreaming for, actually gets further away. So I'm describing this, right? I feel overworked by my demands on myself. Those immersive fears are layered up underneath. And there it was. I didn't just see what I had left behind, right? I saw what was in the way of a different level of personal fulfillment, right? So I'm just trying to help you see that I had this idea of what I was going to get, but what I got given was all part of it, right? And help to make it fuller and have a much more potency to it. So, and what I left behind, all that fear, I intentionally, unconsciously left it behind, right? And probably, right, all this pressure to be busy and get things done, right? I left it behind. And it, as long as it stayed out of reach beyond my awareness, well, it was going to prevent me from that happiness that I was after. So it was fruitful. And I at this point, I'm like still, in terms of telling the story, I'm still only halfway through the trip. So now I've decided, halfway through the trip, I may never go on another adventure. I don't ever want to be scared again. I don't know whether my son and I can create a different way of relating. Right? It's clear I've got to change my lifestyle and how I work myself in this survival pattern. And in all of it, and this always happens, I bottom out with it, right? Is, does any of this growth work matter anyway? Why deal with it all? Why do what I'm doing? Right? It is all is disappointing. I don't like it. So, all right. So that was in the middle. So now I'm on my way to Disney. Now, you may have lots of judgments and opinions about Disney yourself. Some people love it and some people don't. I certainly have seen it more through cynical eyes as a business, you know, looking for profits over the years than just this magical, hopeful place where we get to go dream. So this whole month, I felt kind of guided to go and do where I went. And so Disney was that too. And I have been at Disney from the first year I was born, every year pretty much thereafter, except for maybe a break in my 20s. And I used to just absorb the Disney stories over and over again, crying my eyes out when Bambi lost her mom or when Dumbo was made fun of. Like, these characters were my friends. And after being there a week, I realized that Disney kind of functioned as the reassurance that my life could be better. You know, when I was a little girl, it gave me hope and magic and a sense of possibility for a safe place, because that's largely what was missing for me. It wasn't safe for me. Okay, so now I'm at Disney and I'm starting to look around through a child's eyes, right? And that's how we ended up at tonight's topic, how we get compromised. I mean, you could say really at some level the whole month was that, but it didn't really start to gel until I was surrounded by children, because I watched it happening everywhere around me. And I felt for the parents and I felt for the children, because it's just so hard to navigate a place like Disney. It's hot, and, you know, most families had more than one child. They were trying to meet their needs, and they themselves had their own child within that was present, and they're stressed and pressured from their lives. You know, I mean, to begin with, right, here's the issue. Children are related to as if they're adults. I watched it happen over and over, and of course I've done it too. There's the sense that kids know why they're in trouble, or what they should have done that they didn't do, or how it's supposed to go, right? Even getting on rides, right? They're supposed to know how to get on the ride and pull the seat back, you know? It's like, there's just all this intensity, right? But I don't think a lot of times they do know. And I wish we could just have so much more room for where children are and what it is that it takes to grow up, especially because I think I'm still growing up, you know? So anyway, here's one of the moments. We were walking through the new Star Wars area of Hollywood Studios, which is really, really amazing. And there's this little girl, maybe 6 years old, and she is mesmerized looking around, like studying and paying attention and in awe, you know, contemplating, taking in all the details and the sounds. But she's walking slow, you know, kind of slow, right? And so her mom is about 10 feet in front of us, and she's over to our left, right? And the father is like another 20 feet in front of her. And so here's this child having a real, true, pristine moment of wonder. And the mother is like, you know, in the Oreo cookie, she's the cream, right? The child's one end of the crack, the cookie, and the father's the other. Because she's being, at some level, left behind by the father for whatever reason, right? And she turns around and she basically sneers at her child. And she says, "Do you think you could walk faster?" Right? Like, there's no acknowledgement at all that this little girl's doing exactly what you actually brought her here for, I think, right? At her pace, from her unique take on the world. And I don't know this story for sure, right? Obviously, I could be making a whole bunch of things up, but we were walking along with them for quite a while, right, as this was playing out. But it looked like, to me, the real issue was that the father, being disconnected from the mother by walking so far ahead, right? And then the mother was taking that out at some level on the little girl, right? So now the little girl is getting messages about how she's supposed to be walking faster, when in fact her sensory experience, right, is right present, right? And what I want you to take away about this is the compromised part, that this little girl, she's in a setting that's begging her to slow down and take it in. And the message from the parent is, stop doing that. You're not with the program. Stop doing that. Like, hurry up. Come do this. Come do that. You weren't supposed to do that, right? And so, you know, our inner nature is a sensory driven one. That's what it means to be human, right? We smell, we hear, we feel, we sense things. We, like, people walking up behind us, we can sense, we take in energy. We, you know, we're spiritual beings, right? We're, the senses are part of what makes Earth fantastic, right? And so if it's what it means to be human, but then life actually happens. And so life, I think, although it's full of sensory feedback and sensory stimulation, it also sometimes, right, causes us to have to go faster or do things that we're not ready for, right? We have to get across the park in a certain amount of time. And then, of course, we have needs that may not be important to anyone else, And when you're young, one of those needs is to respond to a parent. So we're put in a very clear compromise when we have to choose between our sensory needs and the expectation of a parent or someone else. Because I don't think this stops in childhood, right? I think this goes on as adults as well, right? It's harder and harder to kind of get an understanding of what's really happening because we've gotten so far away from the places where we were originally compromised. And, you know, clearly a parent can't understand or know when these moments are happening all the time. And so there's that to consider too, right? So I have just so much empathy for what is so challenging, right? As we're trying to develop into whole human beings, right? And let's not forget that parents are dealing with the pressures that the child may have no idea about. But the thing about all of this is that parents were children. And their sensory awareness was compromised. And then they and we, I got to throw myself into this pot big time, we grow up believing that it's the way to live life. And these messages, they encircle our every day. You know, like, move faster, go quickly, be loud, be quiet. Don't do that. Go do this. Right? And yet there's this big world around us. I even think it happens when somebody is picking up an emotional experience of someone in the room and then three other people are like, no, you don't have to worry about that. Stay with us. Leave that person over there. Who cares what they're feeling? Right? These compromised moments that we're faced with. They leave a scar, and they don't even just leave a scar. They start to create a different functionality. So are you able to connect with what I'm describing? Right? That our world has gotten so loud, so fast, so disconnecting, and so demanding that we're basically all compromised at this human being level of our emotions and our sensory experience and the being in our bodies, right? So if we never realized we were sensory beings, we don't even know where to start because our truest nature is being pummeled by 1,000 decibels pushing on us. So that little girl, you know, let's imagine that she continues to seem disconnected in life. What kind of messages now do you think she gets, right? What does she take away from that? And how does that now shape her willingness to stay in tune with her feelings and engaging in conversation with others? And here's the kicker. It comes out of what I was sharing with you about what I saw. Right? In myself, she may not remember that moment walking in the Star Wars section of Hollywood Studios, right? You know, when she goes to actually work on herself and do growth work, let's say she's really a seeker when she's older, she may not remember that moment. She may not be able to pick up the breadcrumbs that lead her back to herself. This is the part where it's like, if we're going to move into the next era, into the next epic time period of humanity, some way or another, we're going to have to create language. We're going to have to be able to take this out of the places that get ridiculed, you know, where they call things a psychobabble or mumbo jumbo. We're going to have to get this idea into the mainstream that we are sensory beings and staying whole is actually the skill of success. Staying whole is the skill of success. So on another night, I got another story. We were waiting for the bus back from Disney Springs to our hotel, and there was a dad, a mom, and three children. And one of the children was clearly in trouble, but it wasn't real obvious why, right? It was about 6 years old, maybe five. And the dad says, get over here and just sit in the stroller. And the little boy says, kind of in kind of tearful response, but dad, I don't want to sit in the stroller. It's for little kids. I'm not a little kid. And so the dad gets kind of more riled up and walks him over to it and places him inside. He's got no choice, right? He's been placed in there. He's sitting. And then he starts to cry. And the dad says, don't be a baby. Stop crying. Stop being a baby. And he says it a couple of times. And so OMG, I just need to say this. I practically came out of my skin on this one, right? Here is a compromised moment, if ever there was one. Sit in the stroller and then don't be a baby. The undercarriage of that, the go beyond way even that, right? Your feelings don't matter when I'm upset with you, right? Because he doesn't know it, but the dad doesn't know it, but his heart's closed. And crying is something you're supposed to be growing out of. Okay. Compromised experience, right? Just so many mixed messages. And again, I want to say that talking about these things, I think helps a lot when they happen, but I think it doesn't happen a lot, right? I don't think we know how to go back. I don't think it's normal, right, to go back and say, let me talk about how compromised you were in that moment, son, right? Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about how we get compromised.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back, and we're in the last third of this hour about how we get compromised. Before I go on, I just want to do a little mini side moment about crying. So crying is the lubricant of the heart, right? It softens it, makes the joints in the body more movable. It helps to carry the hard things about life to see and release them. You know, if we cannot cry, it's like not being able to breathe for the emotional being, like the level of the emotional self. Like, in my opinion, one of the first ways we get compromised is to be told not to cry, or that crying is for children, right? Or that it's inappropriate to cry, or to get this message that crying is unhealthy, right? If we are sensory beings and we cannot cry, we are compromised right there. Because we're naturally drawn to feeling things, and there's no place for it to go. And if you think about it, the first voice a baby makes is to cry. Right? This negation of humanness, it happens even when we don't know it. So you might be wondering where I saw myself compromise my son through my parenting. Well, that's an interesting example because I kept saying, you've got to get out in the world and get a job and take care of yourself. And then I'd say, I'll be there to help. But in my heart, I didn't really feel that way. Right? One of the ways parents get in trouble inside is that they have thoughts and feelings that don't seem acceptable or loving. And then they get stuck, you know, in their own minds. Well, I was stuck, right? And not having any way to work that out caused mixed messages so that my son ended up feeling confused and had legitimate feelings about heading out into the world. But I stopped being a safe place for him to share those, right? And so that's really the feedback I got, is that I was not a safe place for him, right? Which was like stink in the heart. So this idea of being compromised is basically when someone is put in a double or triple bind within the very nature of their existence. They can't win. They must choose. And when that happens, they discard some part of themselves in order to get through it. Right. So when we have to throw a part of who we are, like throw away a part of who we are in order to stay connected or bonded or get a core need met. Right. Because it's in our nature to be connected to people. We're compromised. And when the heart is closed, it's impossible to care about someone being compromised because in that moment we don't care. Right? The heart closes, caring stops because we only want our own need to be met. And by the end of my Disney time, this is something I had to see clearly, that as a child, I was in those double and triple binds all of the time, you know, in small ways, like be very self-expressed, but don't be inconsiderate or take all of the attention, you know, and in big ways, kissing my stepfather goodnight, while really hating him in my heart for how he treated me, but desperately needing connection in the family and not being willing to sever what I did have. But underneath the relationship dynamics that cause us to be compromised, there is the core being that's impacted. And this is what I meant when I wrote in the intro for tonight's show, that we don't often talk about this layer when we're putting our life stories together. We say things like this happened and that happened and my grandmother was this kind of person and it caused me to take this action or that one. But really, our intrinsic, natural, original, biological nature is one that requires a sensory connection to itself. And we're not all wired in the same way about this. Some people have to connect with their eyes. Some do it slowly. Some are overwhelmed easily. So the minute life starts happening, we're really in the soup. And we find that we're not really talking about it. We're not really giving our kids the words to remain uncompromised a lot of the time. We don't give them permission to remain uncompromised. So I know I'm not sharing stories where we watched it work for the parent and the child, or my view of whether it worked or not. I know a little judgment in there, but it was more of just like the observation of it all. But there were plenty of those. And I think this was part of reclaiming my parts of myself in my life. You know how I mentioned that I wasn't taking good care of my body. Well, if I've compromised the relationship between my sensory self and my intention and survival patterns, well, then my body wouldn't matter so much. It wouldn't show up as important. And this was a really important self-awareness I needed to reclaim starting to care about that part of me again. There was this one moment, it wasn't really a loaded one, when a dad and mom were coming off the elevator and the mom said to the child, "What's your problem?" She wasn't really mad or anything. Child was probably 3. And this is another way we get compromised. Like, words have these hidden implications. And so a question like, "What's your problem?" suggests that whatever is being felt, that's causing this behavior is the problem. It's not really what the parent needs. But if anyone thinks they're a problem, well, then how likely it is it that they're going to want to explore what's going on with them? So we get compromised when we see ourselves as performers, as outputters, as generators, instead of fascinating, riveting gardens of exploration and attention paying. And it starts with comments like, what's your problem? In and of itself, those words shouldn't be such a big deal, right? But when you're dealing with a world that reinforces and screams, disconnect, disconnect, right? Like, compromise yourself so you could get along. Don't notice, don't cry, don't feel too much. Because you won't be able to stay in control. Make it happen. Be successful. Show up. Eat what's in front of you. When you're dealing with a world that reinforces these things, it requires us to start to think about how we were compromised. How our basic human, soul biology was compromised by the people and expectations in our lives before we could speak on our own behalf. And by the time we could speak on our own behalf, we were largely indoctrinated into the program so that now we perpetuate it. Your humanness is a sensory-rich garden of observations and feelings and sounds and curiosity. You have needs to be loved, to be valuable, to be worthy, and to be safe. You are here to discover all of the hidden aspects of your whole self. There are no emotions that you don't have access to. You aren't good and you aren't bad because human beings are all that there is. You need intimacy and deep connection to others. You need security so that you have the platform to take healthy risks and actually experience anything that draws your interest. And you can only care for others to the degree that you care for yourself. Becoming focused on how we got compromised growing up and how we are complicit in it, continuing, is a meaningful way to help ourselves grow and become more fulfilled. By the end of the trip, I had signed up for this really cool Jumpstart Poet Camp with Sarah Ann Wynn. And again, it was just the thing to put into the end of my Reclaiming of Self month-long experience. Because while I was being emptied out and brought into the mud, I was also being refilled. Remembering my hope and connecting to my sensory body and soul. And this poet camp, which I basically wrote from 9 to 9:15 each morning, it completely reset my writing. It took it out of this program with an agenda and an outcome. And I felt the shift. I could write again. And it's not like I see myself as a poet. You know, I mostly read other people's poetry, right? But what a cool ending to it all, to connect with a part of me where I'm writing not because I'm supposed to, but by the part that found my heart in it. Because you see, all this month turned out to be about how I compromised my own heart, how I compromised my soul, my sensing body. And it was working on less and less inspiration and energy. It was drying up and shrinking away and becoming emptier. I pointed out some examples of other children being compromised, but really there have been so many ways that it has been at my hand, like letting one part of myself win while other parts were left with nothing. The double binds I placed myself in. I could make a list that goes on and on and on for days. You know, life gives us lots of moments when we are pushed beyond what the heart can handle. And it is at these times when we need each other the most, when we need people around who can help us find another way to get through it, rather than separating within the self and selling one part of who we are down the river. I think about my river and all the ways it reconstituted me when I would swim in it every day. You know, but now I kind of wonder if I actually sent parts of myself down that river that I couldn't hold on to at the time because I was so compromised. So I thought as my final thing, like I usually read a poem, I would read one of the poems I wrote in the 15 minutes. And so it's called Messy Bedrooms, and I hope I get it out before I run out of time in the show. Okay, Messy Bedrooms. Jewelry strewn across the big dresser drawers stuffed with scarves I'll no longer wear. Packages shoved in the corners holding corsets awaiting their own coming out at an upcoming wedding. It doesn't stop there. Wardrobes and collections of pants, tops, blazers, and sweaters ranging in 5 sizes, 8 to 14. There are a few 6s from those really skinny days. Shoes, hundreds of them acquired over the decades. Must be a pair, or maybe 2 for every day of the year and changing season. Makeup purchased to fend off aging and enhance those so-called beauty strengths has now long since passed the use-by date as I begin another used-up day of my finite life. This messy bedroom says a million words, afraid to move on and leave it all behind. A comfort when life was more than I could handle. A reflection of the life I wanted but couldn't create. Fantasies of living in the jet set, never wearing the same thing twice. Jewelry, perfectly matched purse, makeup, perfume. All Marie Kondo'd with notes reminding me of which fete they were displayed. I learned about recording your wearings from Joan Rivers. Steampunk, Lululemon, Ralph Lauren clogs. Silver, no, then gold, then rocks, then fine gems. You can find it all in my messy bedroom. Pantyhose, tights, knee highs. Oh my, my dream to never want for anything I didn't already have. Yes, you can see it all in these dated items of creativity, comfort, luxury coveted, and then pushed aside for the next fad. No wonder I still hold on so tightly. They scream, I belong, of space chosen and occupied me by me. They say, I exist. Okay, well, I shared one of my own poems for the fun of it. I hope that you enjoyed it. And yes, I do have a messy bedroom, and it is one of those things that is going to be going through a transformation in the coming months. I hope that you've enjoyed the show this evening. And again, next week, it will be recorded. I think we're doing the how to do state-of-the-art collaboration, which I think is just such an important topic in terms of moving into the next age and time of life. And then the next week I'll be back, and I have a guest coming that evening where we're going to talk about growth work. His name is Scott. So I hope you'll join me. All right, on that note, I think I'm ending just a little bit early, but thank you for joining me. Have a great week.